Hey, everybody, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Wow, what an episode today. Been talking about it for a while, and it finally happened, and it was awesome. Sandra Bullock is today's guest on the About Last Night podcast, making her podcast debut, her ALN debut. She's just the coolest, man. You know that, obviously. What you see is what you get in movies, in talk show appearances, interviews. She's just salt of the earth, man. Cool, as cool and sweet as she is, funny and gorgeous. And it was an awesome chat. I hadn't seen her in a minute, and I felt like the good old days. That's my old man voice. She actually critiqued in this episode a lot my girl voice that I do, like the voice I use in my act when I portray a gal. And we talked about my mom a good chunk, and she gave me a hard time for the voice I use for my mom. Talked a lot about her family life and kids, and talked about my nieces, and we kind of compare and contrast just, you know, how evolved these kids are these days, and her, you know, full catalog of movies, and the making of movies, and chemistry on set, and the first time I met her, and how nervous I was, and motorboating her, and we cover it all, and we laugh a lot, and, you know, it's just a really great hour and change chat with one of the coolest people on the planet. And I think if you're a fan, you're going to really love it, because it was just a real simple conversation, you know what I'm saying? Like, no cameras, no lights, no extra glitz and glam of the press junkets that she's accustomed to doing. It was just us, and it was awesome. So enjoy the hell out of this special episode, and tweet at us, hit us up on Instagram at ALN Podcast for both of those handles. Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram and Twitter at Funny Brad. Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. AdamRayComedy.com for tour dates. BradWilliamsComedy.com for tour dates. This weekend, where am I going to be? I'm not going to be anywhere this weekend. My next tour date ain't till July 5th through the 8th, when I'll be headlining the San Jose Improv in San Jose, California. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. I love that club. San Jose Improv, July 5th through the 8th. Then July 20th and the 21st, I'll be at Wise Guys Comedy Club in Salt Lake City, Utah. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Brad Williams this weekend will be at the Brea Improv in Brea, California. I think those are hometown shows for Brad. They are. Fullerton, where that motherfucker's from. Brea Improv, June 15th through Sunday the 17th. And my birthday is on that 16th. So go to a show and get fucked up for me and heckle Brad. That is my birthday wish. All of our tour dates, again, at AdamRayComedy.com and BradWilliamsComedy.com. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for past and present episodes. So many great episodes from the past few weeks. Jeff Garland, Joel McHale, Melissa McCarthy, Sal Vulcano, Anders Holm, Pete Holmes, Adam Devine, Jim Jeffries, Melissa Villasenor, Melissa McCarthy. So go back, listen to those apps. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, the Laughable app, which I love to use. And get your merch. Get your ALN beanies, your hats, your shirts, your sweats. Buy them at AboutLastNightPodcast.com and wear them to shows. Huh? We'll sign them. We'll take pics with you. All that jazz. I think that's it. Let's get to the episode, man. What a fucking great conversation in a very special About Last Night podcast episode. We got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way. So sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the one and only Sandra Bullock.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. It's About Last Night.
All right. I don't need headsets or anything. I don't know.
Nope. You just.
Hey.
So I can make sure we sound good.
Do you talk low like on PBS? Like this?
Yeah, you can.
Sweaty balls.
Yeah. The language, first of all, just I want to.
It's
up
allowed.
Top. Yeah.
I'm assuming it's all allowed.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if I was like, could you not say sweaty or balls?
Sweaty balls. I've always wanted to, you got to tell me if that sounds good later on.
It sounds great.
I have morning voice right now. I'm not.
You sound great.
I sound like I smoked like a pack of cigarettes. It's good.
Yeah, and you did. Let's just tell the viewers what's going on with you lately. A pack of morning.
Sweaty balls.
At 5 a.m.
and some Schweppes.
Yeah, yeah. Is this early?
Can I drink,
yeah.
Drink my tea.
Can I it's drink tea my for tea? The listeners. It's tea. It's always tea. You're the one who got me on tea, actually.
How are you doing with that?
I'm doing all right with it. Yeah, let's talk about me. I'm thanking
you
for coming here. This is about me. So
you?
Look, it's well, look, when I was 10, I played the clarinet.
Why don't we turn this into a health show?
Yeah. The tea is, look, I still love coffee.
Of course.
But
it helps take.
It's a different type of caffeine, right?
It's gentler, but it's also
but
doing
it's better
something
for you.
Nice to your body.
Yeah.
The antioxidants.
I'm trying to be more cognizant of that.
Yes. As you hit the clubs late at night, pound the beers, and then wake up and have to do a podcast.
Wow.
Did I nail last night?
Are you
night?
Spying on me?
Did I nail last
no
night?
No beers last night. I don't usually drink. If I have a couple shows, I try to not drink beforehand.
Really?
Yeah. Well, like,
no, I'm saying after. I don't think beforehand.
No, unless it's like I'm going to Arizona tonight for the weekend to do shows, and like I'll pick like one night to...
Just hit it hard? Trash like a hotel room?
Yeah.
Apologize, make amends?
You have not become a true comedian if you don't trash a hotel room. Yeah. Have you trashed a hotel room?
Never. I mean, I've left it and I go, ooh, I'm so sorry. And then I leave an extra big tip just because it was a tough, like it's usually for press tours. There's plastic bags and pasties and stickies for your boobs for all kinds of gowns. And then I just go, I'm not cleaning anymore. I'm just going to leave a lot of money on the end table and just go, I'm so sorry.
Sorry for the pasty mess.
I'm sorry for the pasties.
Do you think the staff gets some sort of heads up, like that they know that there's an actress there that like there are certain things that are going to come with the prep? For like
I think
a press
so.
Junket.
I think so because as I've done repeats at hotels, you just get like more and more plates of like dipped chocolate, like copious amounts of like sugar. And I go, what is on? And then a bottle of tequila. And I go, that was back in the day.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it.
Wait, is the hotel setting it up for you when you come to be like, welcome, welcome to the La Quinta.
The La Quinta.
Here are our, because I know that's
San
where
Bernardino.
You're staying.
The La Quinta in San Bernardino.
Yeah. Have you done a podcast before?
No. You know what? I've done press tours. I've done like radio. Have I done a podcast? You know what? I may have. I don't know.
I mean, I...
Not one that I can remember. So this will be the only one
that
I can remember.
Let's just say for the record that you've never done
What's your audience?
Mostly men and women.
But mostly men and women. Okay, good balance.
Do we know the numbers? Yeah.
Good balance.
Yeah. They're great. I would love to start getting that like...
I thought you said it's third grade. And I was like, that is my market.
You know my comedy.
Lewis Glass. Lewis Glass now. He's going into third. I got that market nailed.
Do you?
Yesterday at the end of the year social party, and I put extra toppings, extra whipped cream. Third grade is mine next year.
I was just gonna say you have got to be like trouble for the other parents because like you're so cool. And
actually, no.
No.
No. I think I'm the parent that looks to the other parents for help. I'm like,
gotcha.
When is free dress day? They're like, today. I'm like, why did I not know this?
Yeah. Wait, what's free dress day?
This is where you don't have to wear the uniform.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Or sometimes they'll say like, we're representing tomorrow something amazing. They're always representing great causes. They're like inclusion like day or something like that. And they're like, purple shirts. And I was like, who the F owns a purple shirt? So I got a box of Rit Dye, a bucket. I got a little,
yes,
a Lacoste, little, because I like the little Lacoste. I was like, that's going to look great in purple.
Yeah.
And with a broomstick and hot water, I stirred that shirt until it was the perfect purple.
Who are you?
I am Lou's mom.
You made a purple shirt?
I made the most epic purple.
That's mom of the year right
shot,
there.
Shirt. Shot. Again.
My mom made my lunch, which was, you know, also a big deal.
That's a big deal. But let me tell you something. It's,
by the way, for a long time. And let me ask you this. And
Are we boring your audience? Because right now we're talking about like moms and kids. And
this
be like,
is great. No. Moms are the first half
are they?
Of the audience.
There's a lot of moms
and then it goes to third grade. And then
moms
it goes
in third grade.
To
so you basically,
elderly Jewish
this,
men.
This still played during carpool in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
I'm a great carpool podcast. but my mom, she made my lunch up until my senior year of high school.
Your mother's the same.
It was just me and her, so I think there was a part of her that was like, I'm just never letting go.
And you know
do you already feel like
you
that, though?
You gotta stop with it. You keep making women sound like that.
This is my mom. This is what she sounds like.
This is how
like.
You make
You've
me
met
sound.
My mom.
You've even made me say, when you said that thingy, and I think, who talked like that? Your mother and I don't talk like
that. You always gave me crap when you saw me do stand-up in, what's that Chinese restaurant in Boston during the heat. Remember you came with some people?
Yes.
And I was doing a joke about, and there was, you know, I was
you
imitating a girl
like
in the joke, and you were like,
guess what? Time's
you
up.
You don't sound like
time's
that.
Time's up.
Oh, no.
Ray, time's up. You can't make women
it's
sound
one,
like that.
It's a caricature.
Maybe it's just the women that you
have known.
Mm-hmm. Except for your mother, because she doesn't sound like...
Well, yeah, there's... I mean, look, I went to USC where there...
All women sound like that?
No.
I don't think so.
But a few that were around me in theater school...
Again, I think it's who you
It's also funnier. It's a caricature, you know?
I know, but
if
yes.
I do like a, if I just do like a very subtle like...
Well, why don't you go lower and make a sound sexier like that?
Oh.
Because then your joke wouldn't sell. Ha ha! We're getting down to some deep shit
breaking
right
down
now.
Comedy.
This is going to be Adam's therapy podcast.
Yeah. I quit comedy after this.
You're just in the corner crying. I'm like, this is good. Now you can do a lot of dramatic roles in cinema.
This couch is set up for like some sort
for therapy,
of...
therapy, yes. Yeah. Where the therapist lies down as in an L shape.
Has that ever happened, you think? That the therapist lies down like halfway through, they're just like, fuck, dude, I also need to get some stuff
off
my chest.
I'm sure most therapists have therapists. How can you take on that... I was going to say that load.
Yeah.
Can you take on that load?
You can say that, yeah.
You can say that on your podcast?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, then I guess that's it. That's all.
That's it? No more? Yeah. No more?
I want to know, so you were born in Virginia.
Yeah. Well, Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C.
Technically. D.C.
Congrats to your Capitals.
I was born to my what?
They just won the Stanley Cup.
Woohoo! Yeah. Bring it.
I will say this. You like know more about sports, I think, than you let on.
Mm.
In the conversations I've had with you about it, you haven't been completely like oblivious.
I'm not. I appreciate. You know what? I appreciate.
You know players.
Athletes. I appreciate athletes. I appreciate sport. I appreciate anyone who brings a game. I don't care. I tend to migrate to the stories of the athletes who really love their moms.
Yeah. Yeah. That's sweet.
You know, like a boy that's going, a young man that's going, you know, my mom was with, you know, you're just like, okay, this young man I think is going to go far.
Yes.
No, but I appreciate athletes. I love them.
Did you play sports growing up?
I was a gymnast, but I will get into anything like baseball, softball, basketball. Like, I will enjoy the act of trying and the rules and what makes up that athlete. And, you know, it just... If you've ever pushed your body to a place athletically, even just like get on the Stairmaster, I don't care.
I do.
You realize.
I think
how
you are spying on
work.
Me because I do have a Stairmaster, and that's like.
You have one now in your apartment?
Yeah.
You busted out the change and bought yourself a Stairmaster?
Yeah. It's been a good couple years.
Has it?
I got Stairmaster money now.
Now, do you use it as a hanging device for your clothes and to dry it?
Oh, God.
Right?
I do.
Did I nail you?
Sometimes,
right?
Yeah, you got me.
Yeah.
Wait, so cheerleading that was in.
High school.
Okay.
Yeah. And I do think the
were
only reason we were picked, I was a good, we did, my girlfriend and I, who were not JV cheerleaders,
yeah.
Our gymnastics coach was also the coach for the cheerleaders. I think she let us in to upset the apple cart. Because I was, you know, the drama major.
Yes.
And my friend Kristen was very cerebral. Like, you had to have a grade point average, level of grade point average in our high school to be a cheerleader.
Oh, wow.
And we were gymnasts and we could do back handsprings and we were not tiny. We were sort of bigger girls.
Yeah.
So I think she saw us as the base of the pyramid. She just needed a good foundation, and we were there to upset the apple cart a little bit. So she let us in.
Did you do them for football games?
Football, and, yeah. Wrestling, basketball.
Cheerleading for wrestling.
Yeah,
you what are those cheers like?
You sit crisscross applesauce on the floor,
love
and then
that.
You use the floor as the drums to do your cheers. It's
wow.
Kind of cool. It was kind of ingenious. Our head cheerleader had it going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she had everything going on.
Was she like, do you
gorgeous,
think she's still cheerleading? Did she go on to like the
smart,
ESPN like championship?
I don't know where she is, but she just brought her A game and we just had a lot to live up to.
Now, when you think about people like that, do you ever wonder like, boy, I am missing out by not being on Facebook and Instagram because I could track down some of these old pals.
You know what? I'm so not on social media. I'm getting ready to do Instagram privately because I want to know
are.
How to do it. By the time the kids are old enough to do it, I don't want to feel. I look over
which
everyone's
is probably a
shoulder.
Couple years away, right?
Yeah,
kidding. No,
yeah, no, please,
it's not.
Dear God,
yeah.
No, but I have like my girlfriend from kindergarten was just in New York with me with her niece to be at the Ocean's premiere, and you know we look at each other and she's unchanged and she's the connector to all of us in high school. Like I get all the information.
That's
I
awesome.
Get, you know,
you need that one person that kind of keeps everybody.
She is that person.
Yeah,
Beth Montgomery is that.
Shout
person.
Out Beth.
Beth Montgomery. Was all that in high school, and she's all that now, and has the biggest heart. So I feel like she's my Facebook.
Yeah, you know, and that's better.
Yeah.
Because you're
sort of like, you just, it's up to Beth. It's her responsibility to remind me of whose birthdays are coming
up.
Yeah.
I know, that is the one thing about Facebook that's kind of
the
like
birthdays.
The blessing and the curse. Like
it's
when
genius.
I, like when, it is, it's genius. But then like, you know, the people I haven't talked to in 10, even 15 years will send me a birthday message.
And you're like, awkward.
And I'm like, this is like...
Yeah,
you're like thank you, but then it's also like we haven't talked in 15
Do
years,
we need
and
to keep
you only sent this because Facebook told you.
Yeah.
So and then yeah.
You didn't really remember.
Yeah.
You didn't really
That's
care
what I comment
about my
back
day
with.
Of birth. And there's Adam in the corner crying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How was the Ocean's premiere?
It ended up being fun. Like we were all uber nervous. It's just
why?
I get really anxious. I mean, look, what is really a premiere about? Getting dressed up.
Well, if you're asking me, I think it's about having your mom tell you to stand closer behind Sandy so that Entertainment Tonight goes, who's that guy?
Who's the creepy guy in the back?
Yeah. I'm telling you, to this day, she still gives me crap that she's like, I'm telling you, there'd be clips out there of you and Sandy having a good time on the red carpet. Because we're still literally standing back there and
again,
I'm so nervous.
You're doing the voice.
But this is my mom.
Okay, she talks like
you've met her. She does.
She does.
Sweet little Oklahoma Jew. Yeah, she does.
She does. Oklahoma Jew does not talk like that.
I talked to her the other day. She was like, do you remember my friend Pam? And I was like, no. She's like, well, her daughter just got divorced. And I go, oh, gee. And mom, remember when I said I don't remember who Pam was? And she was like, yeah, I know, but I just thought you might want to know in case you want to
Send her call her card. Up and yeah. send her, call her up. Yeah, she's attractive and she's yeah. kept her body from high school. She's looking good.
So she was like, you got to get closer behind Sandy because then they'll be like, yeah, who's that guy behind? And then they'll be like, maybe he's in the movie. Let's go talk to him.
And who's the guy that security is dragging off because she's getting too close?
Yeah. But like in hindsight, I'm like, yeah, like you're so easygoing and yes-anding of every moment. I was like, if I did like go behind you and like pretend to start like just answering a question and be like, I'll tell you, John, it's like when I first got into this movie and like interrupted, you probably would have laughed and done some fun and made it fun.
Pretend, make you feel good and then wink to security and then you would have been tracked off.
Yeah. And then we wouldn't be here. Yeah.
So no, premieres, I mean, they are fun, but I think, and I don't know if it's as a woman they're more nerve wracking because you guys can put on a great suit, let your brain and your personality take over. 3/4 of us are judged purely on what we've worn on the red carpet.
That's so
then you
fucked.
Just have all that time and you go, please do not let there be a wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah.
And then you are...
Or please let there be one.
There's that.
Yeah.
There's that. And then you're just judged. Literally after that, it's who wore it best, who's wore it better, like who looks great. And you just, you know that in the back of your head and you try to override it by putting your personality out there and clever
answers. Which you do a beautiful job of.
But then you know for a fact that the next day, it's just nothing but what the person wore. Period. And that's really nerve-wracking.
Does that influence your choice for like, because you always are wearing cool shit.
Well, I mean, I end up wearing what I love.
Yeah.
I go, okay, this is my fantasy day. I please don't care what anyone else thinks,
cool.
You know? And so you get there going, this is my thing and this is what I wanted to. This time I was like, I want feathers. And I'm going to use a voice here. You think? I want feathers.
See, it's fun, isn't it?
Yeah. I want some feathers and I want a neutral tone so I don't clash with the girls. And I want to compliment the 7 of us so we all look good color-wise.
Because we're a group.
We're a group. So that's what I did. And I think it worked out okay.
Oh, it totally did.
I saw
the pictures already.
Oh my God. They were so good, weren't
they? They were so good.
You saw all of
Beth
us together?
Beth already made a collage and sent it to the whole group.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, no,
Wait,
Beth
am I
did.
Beth? Oh, Beth.
Oh, you're Beth. Beth doesn't talk like that.
Yeah, she doesn't.
Only you and I talk like that. And your mother.
Yeah. Wait, what, do you ever get used to the amount of camera bulbs? Because
no,
I remember when
no.
we got on that red carpet.
No.
It was like, they were like, I think Paul and somebody else walked through, maybe Marlon Wayans, and a lot of flash bulbs. And then I walked through, and they definitely stopped. And everybody was like, who is that? Mm-hmm. Hey, say your name.
You didn't have your mother next to you to fill them in.
I did.
Did she go tell the photographers who you were?
Yeah. Hmm. Oh, she was definitely yelling it out.
Mom's is awesome.
It's my son.
That's my son.
I still
Adam
make his
Ray.
Lunch.
He's a comedian. Here are the links to his Facebook.
Oh my God.
Oh my
you're
God.
So
you
right.
will love his work. This weekend he's going to be performing at the.
You're so right.
Is that it?
Yeah. You know what though?
That's what I'm going to do.
I'll take
for
that
Louis
over
Lyman.
The alternative.
I will
any
do that
day.
For my kids.
I know you will.
I will represent. I told my kids. I said, you know, whatever you go, these are the 3 states you can go to college, because those are the 3 states I feel comfortable living in, and I have something to do.
Yeah, and you're serious about that.
I'm totally serious. And I was like, you know, when they learn how to drive, I will be following them in a follow car. They won't know I'm there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm not gonna be.
And that's not being overly like motherly. That's called being like a
safe.
Yeah.
Like, and if they're at some sort of big house party, I'm gonna be down the street in an unmarked sedan. And so when I see the cops coming, I'm gonna gun that car, pull them out, load as many friends as I can in the car, and take off.
Oh my God.
That's what I'm gonna do.
Are you going to be that parent, you know, because like everyone's heard that story or maybe had those parents that were like, you know, we're kind of the cool parents. Like we're, you can drink, but only at our place and in our room. And you're like,
I don't know, because I look at what I did and I was very chaste. I didn't do it. And then I had friends that just tore it up.
Very chaste. What do you mean?
I mean, I didn't do anything. I skipped school on senior skip day. My mother scared me so much. I wasn't going to do anything.
Oh, really?
I drank a couple sips of beers maybe at parties. And that was my rebellious. I never did anything, but I know this is a different time. Kids are going to try stuff.
Yeah. Also, there's that element of like, the more you try to probably hide from them and tell them not to do, they're going to want to.
Exactly. No, we do the exact opposite. Like we're, you know, I think it's also I tell my kids, I said, some bodies, and this is like just a serious subject, some bodies can't drink alcohol.
Yeah.
There's a sickness in them, but you don't know you have it until you do it. And sometimes it's too late, you know. And we were in, where were we? We were on vacation somewhere. And Louis, like, there was like a thing of lemonade. And then another thing, like, we do the little thing, you put your cup under it, you know, it looked like fresh lemonade. And then there was another thing next to it that looked like lemonade, but it had rum.
Oh no.
So
you just started
like
slamming
in slow
that?
Motion, I saw him like do it, and he took a sip, and I'm running, and he was like, ugh. And he was like, I said, dude, that was alcohol. And so the rest of the night, he pretended to be drunk.
Oh my God.
So we went with it. We said, Louis, are you just giggling because you're having a good time, or are you drunk? He's like, I am drunk. He wasn't drunk. It was like literally I reached into his mouth and pulled the alcohol out.
Yeah.
But later on, he says, yeah, I don't think I can drink alcohol. I don't think I have a body that can drink alcohol. So I'm like, just put it out there that it exists.
Yeah, by
so
the way,
pot, so
great learning lesson for it. Like maybe at eight, be like, hey, here's a smell, here's a little sip. And then like just to tell them this
but
is
I
not
I literally reached my hand into his mouth and scraped the tongue. But I think you can't be so militant about it. It's like the same thing with treats and things. If you're so militant, you're going to find a kid who's hiding treats behind their bed, like stuff, and it becomes addictive and you hide. I don't want them to hide anything. Don't hide it. We talk about, you know,
You're very candid with them about stuff,
kissing,
right?
And stuff. Like,
oh, really?
Sex, I'll have to explain more stuff, and they're not there. But I'm like, you know, and they're like, ew, kissing. I said, but if you like it, and I have to catch myself, if you like with Lila, if you like a girl or a boy, you know, like, I don't want to be that person that's like, this is all you can like.
Yeah.
Sometimes your kids
discover
they're, you know, into other things than you are. And
that is the part of parenting that, I mean, again, you know, I have twin nieces, so it's like, I'm not a parent at all.
Yeah.
But the amount of just questions that I'm already like,
especially
answering
for girls.
Yes.
Girls are frighteningly ahead of the boys.
Oh, one of my nieces last time was home put two, she wanted to blow up balloons, right?
Which I'm a little worried about where you're going.
For fun, right?
Yeah.
Like, what do you blow balloons up for if someone says, hey, let's blow balloons?
I know what she did.
You're
she did what I
like,
did.
Oh, yeah, because like,
she made
have,
boobs, didn't she?
She made balloon boobs.
Yep, that's what you do.
And she put them in her shirt and she started going like that. Yeah. And I started, like, you can't not laugh at that. It's hilarious.
Because
she's making a face, she's doing a boob dance.
Which we all do the boob.
We've all done the boob dance.
Yeah. Or you take your father's rolled up socks and you put them in there.
Yeah.
Or toilet paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, I started like get really like nervous. And then my my brother-in-law was like, he's like, man, she's just like goofing around. And he's like, she's not like going to go outside like that. And and he's like, she's
that's just like kids, like they wake up and you have to remember when your body started, quote unquote, waking up.
Yeah, it was like 2 weeks ago.
And just, what was that?
Yeah.
Really? Then?
Puberty just, I'm what you call a late
bloomer.
How
are things feeling? You have those tingly feelings inside?
It's pretty much all over and constant.
Yeah.
And I want to go to Whole Foods a lot. I don't know what that means, but.
Well, what section of Whole Foods are you in?
The produce section.
Mm.
It's cold there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I see what's happening. And so do all your morning listeners.
Yes.
In the carpool lane for third grade.
Oh, God.
No, that's, you just have to just, girls are. Yeah, Lila already has a boyfriend. I said, you're not kissing him. And she's like, oh, yeah. And she's in preschool, mind you. Girls are far. They've picked their boyfriends. She's got she's chosen well. Both my children chose well starting in preschool.
Did you always know when you were going to have kids that you wanted a boy and a girl?
No.
Yeah.
No. I think my mother saw me. I loved being around kids at a very young age, and she was really strict. I wasn't allowed a car date. I wasn't allowed out of her sight with a boy.
Wow.
I think she knew. I think I would have been a very, very, very young mother with many children.
No kidding.
Yeah, but because of her, I was very chaste until I got to college. Because she scared me. And I knew I wasn't going to get knocked up or anything, but I would have been a really, really young mother.
And this comes from her...
Her
German roots, right?
Well, just, I think she was afraid. I think she was an immigrant. She was the first generation. When we were in Europe, she was very comfortable with us being free and felt safe with us going off with our cousins and hiking without her. But I think in the United States, it was still unknown territory to her. So she was more afraid for us here than she was when we would be in Europe during our childhood. And I don't know what that is. I mean, I think she was basing that on her childhood and how she was. I don't know, but she was really strict. Really, really, really strict.
She was an opera singer, right?
Yeah.
Does any of that world, I mean, I don't know anything that comes with that, like the prep and just the lifestyle, but is it conducive to then like being a little bit more militant with parenting because of...
Well, no, I think she. Well, I mean, I always called it a King's art. I mean, it was an art form that you had to practice every day. You had to be very militant about your craft. No, she was just strict.
Yeah.
She was just strict with good reason, I think, in a lot of ways. Now that I'm a parent, I see it, and I find myself getting ready to say no a lot when I'm realizing I'm just on autopilot with no, and I go, stop. Stop saying no. I'll say no. They'll walk out of the room with like dead arms because they're so bummed, with that slouch thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'll go, you know what, dudes, I'm sorry. Yes, you can. I don't know why I said no, but yes, you can. And they're like, oh. So I think we've got a good balance going.
Yeah.
A really good balance because they're good, amazing kids who are funny. They're all old Jewish comics,
And
they're just like,
I think, I met Louis when he was, young, 2012. Like, so he was
two and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even then, like,
he's an old dude.
Like, very formed sentences and thoughts, and like,
talks out of the side of his mouth. He's like, I don't know what that's about. And I'm like, oh my God, where's your cigar and your mustache?
I mean, well, don't you have him in like little vests and like hats that.
Oh, yeah. But he's not big in hats. Now he's all full on baseball caps, basketball shorts.
Awesome.
You know, it's like, you'd be very happy with his attire now.
Okay, good.
It's all athletic leisure wear. Yeah,
yeah,
but boy, I dressed
a classic
him up in
boy
a suit.
Phase.
Yeah, but I put him in a suit the other day for his concert.
Killed it.
Nailed it.
Oh, man.
Like, English, two-button, long, thin, just slightly short with the brown wingtips, no socks.
How amazing is that? That seems like
a pocket square. His fade was nice and tight. And his little shirt. I said, when you get up there, just pull the jacket down. So, and he did. And he was just sharp.
That seems like one of the most fun parts about having kids is dressing them up.
Yeah, when they let you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, because Halloween, you go all out for
We go all out, but last year he said, I'm no longer dressing up. And it was like my world fell apart because it's always been he and I.
Yeah.
Like, Yes. Lila's full on. So now I get to commit to Lila and give her that time. But
great.
Louis announced last year that dressing was over.
He announced it. Did he like show up
he
to
did.
A breakfast
he goes,
and be
not,
like,
it's not.
Hey guys.
He said, Mom's, it's not happening this year. And I was like,
okay. Just give me a second. I'm fine.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Yeah. Just look at what I got for options.
I made this out of Coke can.
I spent all night making a purple shirt.
I'll still make the purple shirt.
Yeah, you'll still do that.
I'll still like.
What was his concert?
It was the spring concert.
Nice.
And they did like old classics. They did Stevie Wonder. They did 1930s tunes. They killed it. These kids were nailing it and jamming. And it was like the a cappella group and the harmony and the.
Damn.
And he's now, he and Lila are singers.
Are they?
Singers on a level. When we're done, I'll play you a little video of her just deciding to sing Happy Birthday to me. But like singing it like Mariah Carey.
What?
And I was like, what is happening? With vibrato and like her finger, like just like the eye. Like
the singer finger?
Almost there, but she did singer eyes.
Just as good.
Just
if
as
not
good.
Better.
It was awesome.
Because when you see a singer close her eyes, you're like, all right, they're like.
They're in it.
Yeah.
I'll never close my eyes when I sing because I just can't.
Well, because you.
I can't sing.
I mean, that's still debatable. You choose not to. The amount of times I've tried to get you to do karaoke.
Cannot sing. Karaoke is like, I get flop sweat just thinking about it. I don't care how many drinks you give me. Once in college, I did it. I don't recall that I did it. And then I went to work the next day. The manager called me and he goes, so I heard you guys hit it hard at such and such. I'm like, yeah, well, we just happy hour. And he goes, no, you went on stage. I went, I did what?
You closed the bar. They asked if you would return the karaoke system.
Basically.
You
but it was like it was live karaoke. Like they had a backup band.
Well, that's awesome.
I guess I
couldn't
took
turn
the microphone and I just tore it up.
Did they tell you what you sang?
I'm sure he did. Don't recall.
That is
college. That is college.
But like even having the singing in your family like that never is.
They say it skips a generation. It definitely did.
But you've sung in movies.
Not well.
Debatable again.
Nope.
Watch what would it. Have to happen for
no
you
debate.
To sing? So like if Corden asked you to do carpool karaoke.
Never. No. I will do it poorly. If I can make fun of myself and sing badly, I will do that.
Oh, man. What would you sing at least? At least people who choose not to, they at least...
Something that has a lot of range that I cannot hit.
Right.
You know, it has to be a big range so you can see me failing it. If it's like a C to a high C, you'll see that I get to C, D, E, F.
Right.
And then the rest is just...
So no Celine?
Oh, Lordy, the greatest singer of all time? No.
I just saw her in Vegas.
You did?
Yeah.
Was she amazing?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
And does like stand up in between
she
her
does?
Shows. Well, you got to assume she's done like thousands of shows.
Yeah.
So And she's like, I'm at Caesars.
She owns Vegas right at this
point,
right?
Yeah. And you land and they're like, welcome to Celine World. And you're like, what? And that joke was for the third graders.
Yeah.
Because now they've tuned in.
You failed on, you can cut that out. You failed on that one. This is where the parents are putting on their blinkers, not paying attention to anything because they're turning into and they're being directed, drop kids here, you know.
Wait, what is, do you have carpal jams then?
We do. We have carpool because we carpool with friends of a friend of mine's two daughters,
yes.
And they have very specific requests on the radio that Louis just sort of rolls his eyes and just goes along with.
So funny.
Yeah, he has a couple singers that he's not a fan of, and he knows them the minute that they come on. And so the girls like will find something else, but it's all about their music, and you can only imagine what they're listening to.
I mean, all the hits of today, right?
All the hits of today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is crazy to... when you hear, and I'm sure your kids are doing it, like, but when my nieces will sing certain songs with, like Bruno Mars, the,
anything Bruno's fine.
What's that?
Anything Bruno's fine.
Totally.
Yeah.
But some of the lyrics, like, that the song, That's What I Like.
That's What I Like, Pink Champagne on Ice.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a line, what is it about, sex by the fire, and they're singing that.
And then they're saying it, but they have no idea what they're talking about.
I'm like, you guys need the kid version. Like,
no, don't even draw attention to it. Just let them say it because they have no idea what they're saying.
Man, like all the crayons in the box, that's right. Like there should be other, you know.
But to them, they're talking about crayons in the box.
I guess. They don't know what it means, right?
Not at all.
They just love the melody.
Lila's favorite song is I Like Big Butts and I Cannot Lie.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and Louis right now is I'm Sexy and I Know It. Which he does with his pants pulled up like an old man and no shirt off. And he's just like, I'm sexy and I know
Oh, my God.
They know their power. They know their power.
You know what's crazy is like if he like went on America's Got Talent and did that.
And nailed it.
There's probably no reason why that wouldn't like just the stuff that does get attention and exposure and like end up in Vegas for like a little bit of a run. Kids singing like standards.
I would love my kids to have a run in Vegas. I would like
for real?
To keep me in the
Did you hear that, Vegas?
No, I would never let my kids. I like when you're 18, you can
even
do
let them go to Vegas.
But until you're 18, you're going to be a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, so back to premieres real quick.
Yes.
The light bulbs, does that ever get normal?
No.
No.
Because again, you it's like you just freeze. I mean, there are people who are really good at it. Like the whole, this last one, we all looked at each other and we're like, what face are you making? Which one are you doing? Are you
That's
doing
awesome.
Serious? I don't care.
Yeah.
Lips slightly parted. Stare down. Are you doing the, oh, I'm so happy to be here. Big smile. You literally become this vortex of self-consciousness where you're just like, please, dear God, let it be an uninteresting, not horribly unflattering, you know, just non-judgmental, you know, face. You just, all you're praying for is just no fortunes, that your upper lip doesn't get stuck to your teeth like that. You're praying that you can just get away and not freeze and just get to the end of that line without like a bad video clip, a bad, you know, sound bite. It's just...
And then also stay so relaxed and like connected that you can like try to be funny and not...
Yeah. Yeah. It's mind bending.
Hey, you've mastered it.
It's freakish.
Is there even just like cameras in general? Like
the
when you took Melissa and Ben and Michael and Sumi and I to Disneyland after the heat, remember?
Yeah.
And that was the first time that I think it was People Magazine had taken a picture of us walking through the park.
Yeah. And what were you shoving in your mouth at that
popcorn.
Time? Popcorn.
Yeah. It was
handfuls.
Maybe the best picture of me that you could possibly ask for.
Yeah.
And also remember I previously done a video with my buddy Andrew Santino where we got really drunk and stoned and did those Christmas videos. And I think I showed you a little clip and you were like, yeah, never show that to any person that you want to think you are cool or attractive to, because this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you.
And
and
I'd fallen and I had like a black eye. And so...
Why don't I remember this? I was juggling a kid.
Yeah, there was a lot going on.
Yeah.
And also Disneyland was right in front of you.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was
but
fun.
I had a black eye and mid-popcorn bite and the camera got me and I was like...
And you looked like a crazy stalker behind me and your mother
because
was like
I was just a couple steps like to the side, so...
Yeah. You look like a crazy person.
Yeah. But I was like, this is not how I wanted to make my People Magazine debut.
Yeah.
Wow. But so my question for you is, because you look like composed and smiling. I'm like, do you have a second sense?
We weren't composed and smiling. Melissa and I were juggling kids. I was shoving Louis around in his little stroller. Like he was dead. He was not moving anymore. He was like dead weight and, you know, just sort of floating on the side.
Yeah.
You know what? When you have kids, the last thing you think about is anything else, but how am I going to, what do you need? Where are we going now? Because I think we were walking back to the hotel because we were just wiped. We watched the parade.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the shot?
Yeah.
Yeah. The kids were dead. We had to get them back and get them some food. So you really, I am the person that when I'm nailed by photogs, I have dog hair on me. My clothes are wrinkled. I have, you know, some part of some kid's sandwich. I never remember that, oh, I'm stepping outside. There could be a photographer.
Yeah.
And I need to start remembering that because it's like kids running out of the house. You've this morning I went, oh my God, what plastic clip is in the back of my hair right now? I don't think about it. So. But I also don't want to be the person that always looks turned out.
Yeah.
That looks like I spent 2 hours in hair and makeup before I left the house. That's not me.
Yeah.
We are running out, dragging homework, making sure the lunches, you know. And if that results in unfortunate photos, that's fine. Because that's me. That's just me. So don't worry about your black guy and your popcorn.
Okay.
That's real.
Yeah. I just didn't know if there was a way to sense.
Yeah, don't get hammered the night before.
Okay, that's
fall down drunk. Have injuries from your escapades.
And then show people.
And when you eat popcorn, just a few kernels at a time.
Yeah.
Not the entire bucket.
I went the whole handful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I got that cool, it was a Spider-Man or Star Wars bucket, the commemorative.
Oh, yeah. What was that? Wait, was it R2-D2?
That's what it was.
R2-D2.
Yeah. Yeah. Because remember, then I came back with it and Louie was like, is that for me? I was like,
yeah.
Yup. Yeah, dude.
Yes, it is. That's right. He had that. He clung to that for the rest of the day.
That's awesome.
We still have that.
My dad saw the movie last night and told me to tell you.
Oh, my God. He went to the happy hour screenings on Thursday night?
He lives in Salem. He's a doctor in Salem. He's 74.
The fact that he went.
He loved it.
That's awesome.
I wish I'd saved the voicemail he left me, but he told me he was just like, he's like, she carried the movie. It's unbelievable. Everybody's great.
Okay, does he speak like that?
No, he doesn't.
No, his voice does not sound
like that.
He's a
real, mild-mannered, calm doctor
voice.
Okay,
then give him
a contract. It's kind of like this.
What kind of doctor is this? He's a...
Well, he used to be a cardiovascular surgeon.
Cardiovascular. They have to be very calm.
Yeah, very calm.
Because everyone that comes in is very
Your heart might be exploding, so
excitable.
We're just going to go right in real quick.
Okay, all your arteries are clogged.
All your arteries are clogged, but that's not a big
deal. We're going to admit you now. Mm-hmm. I know you were on your way to work, but let's just admit you now because
you're bleeding. I know your head is not
die.
Attached to your body.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's fine.
I'm going to take care of it. That's probably how your father speaks.
It is.
So give him the voice.
Okay.
Give your parents the voice that they can't. Not this one for your mother and not this one for your father.
Is that what I did?
I don't know. Oh. I don't know what you did.
He loved it though.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And,
I'm glad.
He said it was really fun and everybody crushed and
it's good. I mean, it's hard to facilitate eight.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say seven because it'll sound like a narcissist. Seven incredibly gifted people, you know, but
who are all all leads in their own right.
Yeah,
right?
So exactly. So, but if we're given the chance to do the next one, then storylines can shift. Things can go and you can, you know, you go, okay, we got through the gate. It wasn't an easy entrance. It wasn't an easy film to make, but you know what? It got made and you have eight people who really like each other, which it could have gone sideways and it did not.
How many of you knew each other beforehand? Because people assume...
None of us knew each other.
Everyone knows each other
in Hollywood.
I'd met
Annie Hathaway once. I'd met Kate once.
I saw
Paulson at the beginning of her career and I guess I complimented her when I said, this is going to be a crushing year for you. So she thought of me very fondly.
People just assume at that level that all the Oscar winners hang out every Sunday.
No one hangs out with anyone.
Yeah.
We see each other on the red carpet and you do a really cursory air kiss, you know, good job. And you go on hoping all the attention's on you.
Yeah.
No. But I think because of the late hours, Helena Bonham Carter is a queen.
Is she cool?
She's divine. Oh my God.
Man, that's so great.
Beyond wonderful. Her mom, we made her Granny Ocean. Her mother is like this renowned, brilliant psychologist and she's just... She would be on FaceTime calling us, you know, at night, and we would just talk to Granny Ocean and
about what?
Just things in life, just saying hi. Like anytime Helena's mom called, we all rushed to her phone to like have a conversation with someone we wish was our mom.
That's awesome.
You know, everybody just, you know, we were all doing two things. Either we had families or someone was doing two jobs at one time. We didn't have a bar on set like the boys. We weren't off at work in Vegas at 5 o'clock, so we'd go see a show and get, you know, liquored up.
Oh, that's what they
were
doing.
We were 14 hour days lying on the floor, exhausted, juggling kids, you know, helping each other, going, I'll do this today and switch with you. So,
dang.
You can do this. So we didn't get the bells. But so next one, we want to be like in Dubai with masseuses and a bar that makes, you know, and then somebody who does smoothies for us because we're all being training, you know. You know, that's what we want.
Yeah, good idea.
And still make a really fun film.
Do you ever pick projects that are like location dependent like that?
No, I'm the one who reads a script, but glances over the parts where it says at night in the rain underwater. And then we're in a night shoot in the rain underwater and everyone's looking at me going, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
I was like, well, obviously I wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't. Because, yeah, you're just...
You can't, right? That's no, not a way no. to yeah. make a career.
Yeah. I've already made some bad decisions in my career that hopefully, you know, I'm forgiven for, but no one sits out to make a bad movie.
Yeah. Do you even like watching your work?
No.
I think
no.
I saw, like, it was Johnny Depp on Letterman once, and he was like, I don't watch any of my movies. And Letterman was like... You've never seen Chocolat? And he was like, no, I've never seen anything. I don't even know what the pirate movies look like. And he's like,
well, you look like Keith Richards. One. Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, but he just was like, I can't do anything about it once it's...
That's the hard part. Unless you're producing, like, actively a physical producer on it, and you have...
Which you have been, right?
And fine. Wasn't on Oceans, right. But I have been. Then you can go in and say, you know what? I know there were better takes. I know there were other moments. I think you need to cut my scene because I suck and highlight. That's where you can go in. But for the most part, you have no control. And if someone ends up hating you during the course of filmmaking... then you're going to see it on film.
Yeah.
But you have no control. So most actors will look at it and go, oh my God, I'm terrible. Why am I sucking so badly? How about you just, you know, just make the film and walk, do the press, go to, as Kate says, go to a happy place, represent and go on with life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It almost seems like that would be fun, but more pressure to be involved in like the editing process because you're like, oh cool, I get to like really control. Yeah. But then maybe you start over analyzing or just in any editing process.
Do, or if you're an extreme narcissist, you make it all about yourself and it doesn't help the film. And sometimes
you're not thinking about story. You're like, I didn't like that shot the way I smiled there. And you're like, what?
Exactly. And you have to sit back and go, what is the best thing for the film? And if you are just, you know, the whole world evolves around you. You've seen that happen where you go, okay, that person need to be taken out of the mix. You hope you can step back and be objective.
I did love the, I saw a billboard for Ocean's 8 and it's what'd you call it? What the slogan, the tagline that,
which
is it called? The, when it's the, whatever the slogan is
below the belt, below the line, below the,
you know, for the movie, it says like, what said for every con, there's a pro. I think that's what it was.
Is that what it is? Yeah. I don't know if it's not. That's a really good
one. It was really good. Yeah. And I was like, wow, who picked that? And what were the other options?
Marketing. Yeah. Marketing. This marketing team at Warner Brothers is amazing. Oh, you've got a call coming in. It's your it's your dad's new cell.
Oh, could have told you.
Dad,
right,
your
there.
Son's mocking. Your dad's son's mocking. The marketing team at Warner Brothers, which is sounds like a boring conversation, but I've worked with them since I did the first film I produced. They're called Miss Congeniality, and I remember they came in. And they're like, "We have a trailer," and I was like, "It sucks. It's for women. It's supposed to be funny." And they're like, "Just calm down. This is the first one. This is where we all start, you know, talking." I was like, oh, okay, sorry, standing down.
Yeah.
And I've worked with them ever since then. They are brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And they, how they tap into a style, a zone, a feeling that they know people will respond to, something that's fair to all eight. Because you want all eight represented equally. You don't want to feel like there's one person that's being singled out. And this is a you know, an eight-hander.
Yeah.
Some storylines needed more attention on this one. And some storylines will get more attention on the next one. But marketing treated everyone evenly.
That's awesome.
They're amazing. And his name
is
Massey Raffani and Blair Hitch. And I'll say their names because they live an anxious, sleepless existence.
Yeah.
They have kids. And because it's not just our film. They have four other films that are happening. So to get out there and not peak too high. Like, I've learned things. They're like, we can't peak 2 weeks out. And I'm like, oh, what does that mean?
What does that mean?
It's like if you hit puberty too early.
Yeah.
And then you peak in high school. Is basically what they're like, we don't want to peak in high school.
Yeah.
We want to peak somewhere after college.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's like another level of stress that I can't even wrap
my head
around.
You're good at marketing and figuring out your online and like you're good at that. You're going, I know what my base wants,
more
what
less,
this world wants.
Yeah.
I don't have that. I'm like, I just do what I love and then I crawl back under my rock.
That's how everybody wants it to be. Like, I wish I didn't have to do all the...
But you do. That's the way it is.
I also feel like I'm not in my phone enough. Like, I try to like...
You're in your phone. You take your phone to the bathroom.
You don't?
No.
Do you take an iPad?
No.
Yeah, I mean, I like to
take my meditation gong.
Do you?
Oh. But I was like, what would I take it? Yeah. I roll in this large gong and bong.
It relaxes me.
It just bong. And then it's like a 30-hour meditate. No.
Do you meditate?
Oh, I do.
Kevin Nealon was telling me about how great it is and how I need to do it.
It is like, I got to a place a couple years, it was right around the heat where I was spinning out.
Yeah.
This is where through Marlon Wayans, I learned I needed to stop drinking coffee. He sent me to this guy and I go, where are you learning your discipline? I feel like my body is spinning because there's a lot happening in life. I was under stress. I didn't know how to stop the chaos. I don't take drugs. I'm not a crazy. And I was like, I don't know what to do. And he said, go to this guy, he'll take your blood, he'll tell you what you're predisposed to, how to, like, food allergies, and just get your body back into a place. And this guy looked at me, he goes, you have to meditate. You have to calm yourself down. And I was like, I don't know how to do that. So I found someone that taught me, and it's been the best thing. Like, you can be on a plane, because I hate flying.
Yeah.
And I'm like, she's like, that will help you. And so she just gives you sort of a mantra and a way, and it's like taking a pill. I can now feel when I'm spinning out, I just start going to that place. It can be for five, it should be for 20 minutes, but it can be for 5 minutes, and I feel everything calm down.
Wow.
And what it does is it helps you organize in your head by the time you're done, what to tackle first. Because I look at everything as a big mission. It all comes at me. And I'm like, I have to do the school thing, and then I have to do the work thing, and then I have to do the life thing. And then,
yeah,
you know,
not enough hours in the day.
And not enough hours in the day.
Even though you're starting at like 5 or 6.
I start at 5:30. And it's more my brain. Yeah. I'm capable of accomplishing what I need to on the list. Yeah. But I get so panicked. And it just, after you meditate, you go, oh, I need to tackle this first. Then I'll do this number two. And, and you don't panic anymore about what you have to do. You just do it. It's amazing.
Dang.
Yeah. And I'm teaching my kids too. I'm teaching them how to sort of take a breath, because school is hard.
It is.
Life is hard.
Third grade is way more overwhelming than people.
Oh my God.
Also, recess? What game am I going to do? Who am I going to play with?
They make up
I played with Matt yesterday.
They make up their own rules and their own games now. It's like, they're learning how to code. I'm like,
what?
Sorry, you're doing what? And then he comes home with his Singapore math, and I look at that, and he doesn't see the tears well up, because I have no idea what any of it means. Like, I don't know. Singapore math.
What is that?
Exactly.
Damn. Is he still taking like karate and stuff?
No, that was just a nuance.
Fencing,
karate.
Right?
No, he was fencing, karate, and then he stopped that, and now he's a wicked baseball player.
Awesome.
Pick that up, because of the asthma he hasn't, but now he's sort of finding his sport. So it's baseball. He's loving basketball. He's just a wicked. He loves Ninjago and Legos.
Does he want you to do like a sports
Harry
movie?
Harry Potter. No,
that might be next.
I'll just show him The Blind Side.
Yeah,
I'll say I did it.
Yeah. Did you for that movie? You spent a lot of time with Leanne, right? Was the name
Leanne
of that?
Tui? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You spent a lot of time with her, right?
Yes.
Before that,
yes.
Is that consistent with like most people that are playing somebody in a movie? Or
you would think if that person is still alive, yes.
Right.
Yeah. If they're dead, you can't really spend time with.
Great point.
But yes, I've never played real. I've done it twice. Nell Harper, Harper Lee, and Leanne Tui. And I wish, this is my one regret. I knew how private Harper Lee was. And I anyone who's private, because I'm fiercely introverted and private, I'm like, I will never, ever, ever seek them out just for self-satisfaction. Yeah.
People don't know you're actually in a box right now.
I'm like the boy, John Travolta in a bubble.
You're a bubble woman. Yeah.
She wheeled me in and she has me up to an oxygen. And you can only reach in with little plastic gloves and touch me right now.
Oh, that'll be life at some point.
but it's Nell Harper Lee. Harper Lee is someone that I wish I had met and sought out just to say thank you, because what she did at a time where it was not a part of the vernacular. I she did so much, especially my children are African American, and I just go, someone who put her thumb on what was happening, the heartbeat of what was happening in our world, in our country, in such a loving, insightful way. I wish I'd met her before she died, but that's the only one. But Leanne's very much here.
Is it
still running the country?
Is it like an assumed thing for an actor that you're like, yeah, okay, you're going to play that person if you have the chance that you need
Absolutely.
To do that?
You hunt them down and you and Leanne,
like, no one's
too,
ever been like, I'll just read a book and look at the pictures on Google.
Mm-mm.
And
because
I got
Leanne
it.
Is very, I mean, I've only played two people, but Leanne has such a specific way of speaking. And I was like,
was that the first thing you were like, I want to get?
I needed to figure that out. I said, because no one is going to believe that. She's. You think I talk fast? It is just. And so I was like, I need to nail down her rhythm. And it took me a long time. I kept saying, something's not right. Something's not right. And then I realized, don't stop. Just don't stop. Get it all. She wants you to hear her right now. She will get you in a corner and make sure it is all out of her mouth before she leaves you. And once you figure that out, you find someone's rhythm.
Yeah.
We all have a rhythm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was lucky. I was lucky. She was so generous and she was there. And she just like, anything you need.
What kind of things would you... I mean, again, like, I'm just so curious about that process. Mm-hmm. Like, do you make a list of things that, like, all right, these are the things I need for
I need
character.
To find out to execute this. Did this happen? What would you do?
And,
you know,
and once you see the script, you're like, all right, story-wise, I need to know this stuff.
Yeah,
maybe get
that.
Some deeper stuff that I can
Absolutely.
Internalize.
Stuff that isn't actually written, but you know it's sort of the story
yeah.
you can always rely on. And I was like, you know, like, we're like a color palette. She's, oh, I have my color palette. for her makeup. And so she gave me her color palette, and I said, we shall use that. Found out her favorite designers. Like, once we just got the, it sounds like little things, but once you get into wardrobe, most actors will tell you, that does half the job for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It does have, like, a shoes. Specific shoe makes you walk a certain way. She had a very specific brand she liked. She liked things tailored a certain way. She had great assets, like, to show them off.
Yeah.
And I was like, if you got it, flaunt it. And yeah. So, like, for me, who will wear, like, a trash bag and belt it, you know, she liked it nice and tight, you know, and I was like, all right, let's go there. Yeah. And it makes you feel different.
Little things, even probably too, like favorite drink and like favorite curse word and like that.
Oh,
stuff.
Oh yeah, all not. That kind of stuff. I don't remember what her favorite curse word was, but
yeah. What's your favorite curse word?
Fuck me.
Whoa.
Like if I get mad, it's always at myself. So it's like fuck me, you know. And everyone just kind of goes, oh, on sets, should we laugh? Should we? Is that okay to make a comment about? I'm like, yes, you can comment on it.
Did your folks curse? Like were you?
No, my dad. Did a little bit. My mother, she loved the word shit.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard hearing a German say shit.
It's great.
It just did, you know, like it was too punctuated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it didn't really
too
flow.
Too short, yeah.
But that's the only one I ever heard her say was shit. And I remember I was young and I said, Mom, I know what fuck means. She's like, what? And then I came up with something. She was like, no, that's not
that's
what it means.
That's not at all not what it means. Is. Yeah.
I felt I knew a lot
but
then.
But keep trying, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Does Betty White curse?
Yes. And it's brilliant.
Sailor mouth.
But not really. People like to see her have a sailor mouth. She would prefer not to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she would prefer not to.
She's a lot more distinguished, I think.
Yes, but it's so funny to see Betty like throw down the F-bomb, you know, that you're just like, oh, please.
Yeah.
But she's got more class. Like, she'd rather not dip that low. She'd rather, like, let me use the humor that I have, which has worked really well for me all these years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she'll drop it for you if it's necessary.
Is there you, just from my experience with you in one movie, mm-hmm. and I'm assuming this is how you've been all the time, like making people feel...
So sad that you think that, but go ahead.
What? Well, I just think you've always been like a very easygoing, sweet, kind person, and you make people feel comfortable right away.
I like that's people part of to your... feel comfortable because I am so worried about being uncomfortable myself.
Great,
but
great
don't
trait.
You think that's what sort of comedy does? It's sort of like,
yes.
I'm going to level the playing
that's why you're
field.
Funny. Yeah, like you, yeah.
Yes.
It's like with my co-host Brad, who's a little person, right?
Where is Brad right now? I wasn't
Tacoma,
a good enough client for him to show up?
In Tacoma, Washington.
What's in
he
Tacoma?
Heard you were afraid of little people, so.
Oh, my God.
You know who John Stamos is? We're trying to get him on the podcast, and he...
Also, but I'm sure he'll show up for John Stamos, but he won't show up for me.
He's in Tacoma. He's got to do stand-up.
I don't care. What is he doing
he's
in Tacoma?
He's about to have a kid. He's trying to, like, make a living. I know I told him. I was like, dude, you got to cancel that. He's like, trust me, man. He tried to look at flights to come back and skip his press, so he's very bummed.
Mm-hmm. And if I hear him interject himself into this thing, like, all of a sudden he's cut into this podcast. You need to just cut me into me saying, going, mm-mm, you're not here. No, you're not here. You're not here. He's not in this room.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He'll make jokes about his size mm-hmm. In a room right away to make people comfortable, you know? And
I think we all do that.
Yeah.
All our fears, what we think are our shortcomings, are not, they're usually not on anyone else's brain.
Yeah.
You go, oh my God, these are the things I think about myself. I'm just going to throw it out there and say it now. And then that way they can't say it first and break my heart.
Yeah. I remember when the very first time I met you, I was walking out of I think I'd just gotten in like full dress for the first day of the heat and to go show Paul, I'd grown my hair.
You're sitting on your stairs and you look like a terrorist.
Yeah.
I remember that. I was like, who's that terrorist on the steps?
Why did we
and
cast
then my
him?
Son was with me and I put my son behind me and I go, this guy's shifty. He's
like,
just looking
oh, no.
at us. Push Louis behind me going, keep walking, walk faster. And he's like, you know, at that age, he's like his little chubby legs. He's just learning how to walk. And
so
I drag
cute.
His ass across the parking lot.
Yeah. And you had one of your dogs with you. There was a bigger dog.
Was it Bob? Was it the shepherd?
Yeah. Yes.
The shepherd?
Yes. And because...
Bobby May Jean?
Because I remember I was so... Look, I've been starstruck maybe three times, all mm-hmm. right? When I met Larry King at the movie theater when I was stoned, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Larry, what's going on, man? You getting some snacks? And he was like, do you mind? I'm with my nephew.
And
I was like, I just got interviewed by Larry King.
Okay, you're a stalker. You need to stop that.
No, so him, my local weatherman when I was in the fifth grade in Seattle, Steve Poole, when I was at the aquarium, and you.
Uh-huh.
And so when I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, I'm thinking I got to say, like, don't say something stupid, but try to be like mm-hmm. charming. And there's the first time, like, you're going to, you know, be in scenes with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember I walked up and I said something like, hey, I think I'm in the movie, I hope, or something. And you were like, what? And I was like, I don't know. And then I was like, oh, is this your dog? And I went down to pet it. And he went like, bah, bah, bah. And I like jumped back and I was like, shit. And you were like,
my
bro,
dog,
this is not going to go well. And
my
you made
dog
that kind of
knows
a joke.
A stalker.
Yeah. But you made a joke to kind of like make me feel a little bit better about that because I was like, oh, so nervous.
It, you know what? It's just people don't realize, like, you're so isolated as an actor. You're like in these little trailers that are basically a sink and a toilet, and you're just being pulled in and out.
You had a toilet?
I did. You didn't?
Dang. Mm-hmm. Living that toilet life.
I'm living big life.
That's next level.
Mm-hmm. I even had a little mini fridge.
I had a sink. They're like, that's also a toilet. I was like,
well, that's from your, yeah. That's, yeah. That's from your, yeah. That's just how you
roll. Yeah. It's a single life.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but it's an isolating world. Everyone thinks like, and we actors just get so nervous, and you're like, hi, so nice to work with you. Yeah. And then you're praying that you have a connection with someone, especially with comedy. You hope that you can riff or improv. You like throw something someone's way and then it drops. You're like, oh my God, I'm yeah. floundering. It's a scary.
Was that easy with Melissa?
Well, Melissa, I quickly learned the first day, she's not going to say one thing that's on the script.
Yeah. Had that ever happened to you in any movie before?
Not to that degree.
Crazy.
Because you sort of realize all your jokes are set up based on the script. And I went, okay. So I looked at Paul and I said, how about we film all of Melissa's stuff first? And then I'll figure out how to react to it when you turn to mine. And that's how you fit. Ours, Melissa and I are, what was so great about our characters, we were so opposite that I could play the one with the stick up my butt and just be very tight about everything.
Yeah.
She was a loose cannon. So you, once we figured that out, I love physical comedy. Yeah. I love physical comedy more than verbal comedy. She's the verbal comedy queen. I love the physicality of being stuck between a rock and a hard place, being uncomfortable. So once I figured out where I could play that in her vortex, it went smoothly.
Well, that shot of you in Miss Congeniality is like iconic.
Which one?
In film.
Which shot?
When you're walking away from, when you like.
In the purple dress?
Yeah.
Oh,
and you
yeah.
like kind of trip. You're walking away from, is it Benjamin Bratt or who are you?
Benjamin Bratt and Michael Caine.
Yeah. Yes. And you're walking away from them trying to be all like composed and then you like.
I am sweaty and hot.
I mean, that's like so funny.
To me, physical comedy is everything. But it's hard to find.
Yeah.
It's hard to find things. Because I think you have to play everything really seriously.
Yeah.
I said, basically write it like a drama and I'll find the obstacles.
Easy Chemistry with Ryan Reynolds, Michael Caine.
Yes. Michael Caine was one of my sort of like those life moments where you tick the box. Your heart grows when you think about Michael Caine. Comedically, he nails it. Dramatically, he nails it. And just to have, being able to banter with Michael Caine was
he improvs?
Yeah. Brilliantly.
Dang.
He has to. People like Michael Caine have everything. We just have a third of it.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds and I have known each other since he was prepubescent, you know.
Oh, really?
12-year-old. We've known each other for so long.
So that helps, right?
We naturally have that thing.
Yeah.
It just, we don't have to look
that
at
was
each
obvious.
Other. You have that rhythm. And it just happens.
It's so funny too, because then people are like, "How'd you do that scene where your guys were naked?" And you're like, "Well, like we're
buddies,
care.
So
it didn't even matter.
We would just spend all the time just going cover it up, Brian, Ryan, you're hanging out. And Fletcher, we were like, we asked for a close set.
Yeah,
we've all got our things up. She's behind the camera. When we think close set, you think no one else can see. No, close set means there's no people on the set, but everyone is crowded
watching.
Around a monitor. They see everything.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's quiet, and now we're sitting there and we're waiting. I'm sort of bouncing on his knees, and he's lying on his back with his knees up. We're just waiting, and we got pasties and things, you know.
How do you cover the guys?
Yeah, those things. And all of a sudden you hear Ann Fletcher going, Ryan, I can see your ball sack covered up. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm trying not to look. Try not to look. Don't look at his ball sack.
Yeah.
And it's just, but you have to be, it is so uncomfortable and awkward. And we're so into shaming our own bodies that when you have a scene like that, I will do it for comedy.
Yeah.
I will not do it in any seriousness.
You're fearless like that.
The what?
You're fearless like that.
For comedy,
yeah.
I will. And because it was Ryan, and because Ann made us feel so close, and because you felt like you had a safety bubble, I'm like, they knew how uncomfortable it was. You know, there's no actor, I mean, that's not true. I don't know any actor that I've met so far that goes, yeah, I'm shooting a naked scene. I feel so good about it.
That's a
anyone
good Glenn Close
like
impression.
Is a freak.
Yeah.
And you don't really want to be around them because you know that they're into it for something else.
Totally.
I'm like, but if you feel someone opposite you that feels shamed like you do,
yeah.
And it's for the funny, then it's again, comedy levels a playing field.
Yeah.
And you feel okay.
Do you always have fun making movies? Is that a dumb question?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So many variables go into.
It's a love-hate relationship.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're in a mix where there's just, you're dealing with human beings that are, just should not be around other human beings that are running the ship. And it is so difficult when that happens. Because I get in there and I go, I'm in it to win it. I'm here to collaborate. I'm here to like do everything I can. You work till 4 o'clock in the morning. And if it's not working, come back at 7. And
But if you work with human beings that shouldn't be around other human beings, it's a spirit crusher. And when it happens, it's, you take everything very personally. They go, don't take it personally. I go, how can you not take your work? And because it's your life. It's a lifetime.
Have people ever been so impressed by your acting that they've been like, what was it like going to space for Gravity?
Oh my God. Somebody did at the press junket ask Alfonso Cuarón what it was like filming in space. And he said, no, we were on stage. Said, no, but when you went to space. And he was like,
we're on the stage.
We weren't
but
there.
In stage space.
But like, but that's to his credit. And
totally.
And Chivo, the cinematographer, and all the special effects people that worked on that film, that 2 months before we started shooting that film, a certain part of the effects world hadn't been developed yet, that we couldn't have pulled off some of the things. Like right 2 months before we started filming, something, when last piece clicked, and they were able to film and do what they did in that film. So there are artists, special effects artists, that are true artisans that are becoming the filmmakers of our generation, because they're creating fantasy on a level that you know, every 6 months something new comes along.
You were telling me during that too that was just like the most physically demanding.
Yes, but it was also the most emotionally rewarding film I've ever been on.
And it was unbelievable.
It was amazing.
That one, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I watched that one.
Because that was fucking bonkers.
Like, that I can't wait for my kids to see.
Yeah.
You know, when Louis was little, like, he saw the trailer to it. I had to approve the trailer. And, like, he loved George. He knew George is the guy who always had ice, and he had the dogs, Einstein. I was missing ice somewhere.
Ice?
And, like 6 months later, he goes, but George has ice. And I'm like, oh, my God, Louis thinks that literally we're running out of ice
man.
And that George will always have ice, and he's wondering where Einstein the dog is. It's the sweetest thing.
That's amazing.
But he didn't understand why I let George die.
Whoa.
Because why do you let him die?
Yeah.
Like, he really was hurt that it's George, the guy with the ice and the dog, I let die.
He had ice. How are you going to get ice?
How are you going to get ice now?
You
have
warm drinks?
He's dead. So I can't wait for them to see that. They haven't seen it yet.
We have like 5 minutes maybe?
5 minutes is good.
More or less? Okay, cool. Do you mind?
She's the pit bull. Do you feel the pit bull behind me?
She's great.
She's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You guys have known each other for a long time.
Long time.
Yeah.
How long? 18 years?
That's so cool.
Like, I'm trying to turn to you, but I have a neck injury. I'm like 18.
No.
I have literally a neck injury from press.
No.
From spinning and talking to the girls and sitting in a position for 3 days that I tweak my neck. I go, how sad is that?
No, that's I'm impressed you're not more injured.
Like,
you've been flying everywhere.
Like, oh, that's the, and then I got on the plane and I'm spending all time talking like this, and I get home, I'm like, it's okay. But yeah, Cheryl is a pit bull. Who does really good facial features. She goes, oh.
Yeah, that was, yeah, but I understand what she meant by that.
And she will cut you if you ask the wrong question.
Do you want, so I posted, by the way, thank you for doing this.
You're welcome. Thank you for doing it.
Unbelievable.
Love this.
I hope it's not like.
I hope it's my first podcast, because this is kind of fun.
This is, yeah, it's awesome. And I hope I'm like it's not, doesn't
hope
feel like
doesn't
the normal
suck.
Press.
No, it's more fun.
Because I wrote a lot of questions and stuff, but then I was like, I don't want to be like, did you really drive the bus in speed? You know, like
I did in a couple scenes, yeah.
You did?
I did a little bit.
Yeah.
And I actually got my bus driver's license. It's a joke. They just had a press
you
thing.
You had to get one for it?
No, I didn't. Afterwards, they had this press thing. Like, we're going to go to the thing, and we're going to see if you can get your license. We'll just film it. It'll be funny. And I actually completed the bus. I had to back the bus around this circle. And I crushed it. I just nailed it, and I got
Damn.
My. I think my number was like Santa Monica Municipal 2020 something.
It's moments like that where you really like those unexpected.
You realize how
victory.
Talented I really am. Yeah, yeah.
When I parallel parked the bus.
Yeah.
So I posted that you were going to do this, because then people obviously you have some fans
do
out there.
Do they send in questions?
Yeah.
I love this kind of stuff.
Really?
I love when yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Twitter, Instagram. I'm just going to read a few, and then we'll wrap this up.
Alrighty.
Okay. The first one, how many months of the year does she live in New Orleans?
Mm-hmm. As many
and what's
as,
your PIN number?
And my PIN PIN number is 1365.
Yeah, yeah.
And whenever we can get there, and it's an ebb and flows. It ebb and flows because of when I'm working, the kids, you know, because now that the kids are in school, you have to work on stupid kids' schedule.
I know, Jesus, them and
but
their
I love
activities.
It. I love it. I love that it sort of gives me a structure.
Yeah.
But you know, Mardi Gras, if we can get to a Mardi Gras.
You love it.
I love it.
Is it the best ever? I've never been.
It is the best ever, because the entire community comes together. And how often does an entire community come together for something outside of themselves, where they're all on the same page?
Yes.
I don't care about your political affiliation. I don't care. But when you're in New Orleans in Mardi Gras, there's so much love and joy.
and you just got to see the bands. You got to see
the music.
Warren Easton's band, Warren Easton High School's band.
Yeah,
you've
got to
go represent. When they come down, like, I'm crying. It's usually raining. They are killing it.
They play in the middle of Mardi Gras?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Most high schools are playing in the middle of Mardi Gras. Any high school of note that's got a band is killing it.
That's awesome.
Got to go to Mardi Gras. You have to do it once in a lifetime and just and take it in.
Damn. All right. Was she ever intimidated or genuinely in awe of working with a legend like Michael Caine on the set of Miss Congeniality? I guess we kind of covered that, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Adam, I'm a longtime fan of Sandra's, and when I say fan, Adam, I'm a longtime fan of Sandra's, and when I say fan, I mean Hope Floats is tattooed on me for life. Anyway.
Okay, is this a gay man that's asking the question?
Hey, you know, I would appreciate it so much if you would ask her, mm-hmm. What tools is acting giving you that have helped shape you into the beautiful person you are today?
Oh my God, well, I'm not a beautiful person. I have allergies and puffy face.
Oh, shush.
You know what's hardest for an actor to do? Because we're all fighting for our moments. And we always assume that our moment is when our mouth is moving. And we're saying something really witty. A lot of times, it's when we are listening. To just quietly listen and react to your partner. And whoever's opposite you as an actor is the hardest thing to learn. And to realize that... It's hard to explain because I always think that, oh man, I nailed that scene because I did this, I did that. And then I see it and I'm like, oh my God, be quiet, stop moving. You know, stillness and listening sometimes is the best thing you can do in your acting. And that translates to life. You know, once I had kids, I learned I was incredibly impatient. I was always jumping ahead of what I thought they wanted and people wanted, and that I knew better because of my life experience.
Right.
But in fact, if I just shut up
and listen for
and
a second.
I listened, I realized I knew nothing. So listening and being quiet and taking it in, I think has just helped me tremendously in life.
Damn, that's great advice. From Emily Higgins, who's actually a good friend of mine, and she says arguably your biggest fan, which I'm sure like that's, every person you've met has been like, I'm your biggest.
No, some of them are like, I'm not crazy about your work, but can you tell Kate? I'm like, yes, I can.
Yeah. You know what's great? I just remembered when we, you, Melissa, and Michael and I went to some tapas restaurant in Boston.
Did you say topless restaurant?
It was a topless tapas restaurant.
That night?
Yes.
Don't you bring up that night.
I'm not going to bring up that night.
Okay.
But I will say on the way out, and this was like, again, just great sense of humor. And it was my first time seeing like you interact with people too,
yeah.
Right? Because we were offset. And there was a girl, she was about to get married in her like bachelorette party. Do you remember?
Uh-huh,
like
yeah,
on the way out?
Yeah.
And they were like, oh my God, I just want to say like, I don't want to bug you, but like, we're all big fans and whatever. And they were freaking out and you were so sweet to them. And then one of them even, one of the girls in the group was like, any advice for her before she gets married? And you were like, don't do it.
Yeah.
And they all laughed. And then you were like, no, it's great, whatever. And real sweet with them.
That was a fun night. Remember, all Melissa and I kept doing was saying, Shazam, because every song that came on, we kept Shazamming it, going, what is this? Will I am? This is amazing.
Yeah. And then Melissa was rapping about my beard.
Melissa will rap about anything.
Yeah.
She's hilarious.
And then, that was crazy.
So back to your friend Emily.
How can fans get their hands on the Working Girl TV show? And since that's not an interesting question, but a logistical one, here's another. You've expanded and built onto the Ocean's Universe. Is there an off-the-air TV show you'd like to expand on?
If you could say her name, she'll freak out. We make an off-the-air. You know, I was on a bus ride back from Austin. I went, oh my God, I need to remake One Day at a Time. I love that show.
Yes.
And turns out someone already did.
Oh,
I was
like,
oh. I think Archie Bunker show, I think that especially since we are in such a political climate where people are unable to communicate and speak and put their toe in the water. I mean, we saw what happened with Roseanne. I think the Roseanne show could have been such a jumping off point for having political conversations from both sides of the fence within the same family. My dad is Republican. Half my family is Republican. I'm a Democrat, but I think I'm more of an independent. Like I don't care.
But yeah, it was a great backdrop to have both sides represented.
I think he could be such a great, because he was such a ignoramus and such a racist, but with a kind heart. He didn't realize he was a racist.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of conversation needs to happen. I mean, that would be amazing. I think Chico and the Man should be redone.
I'm right here ready
for
that show.
I think this is where we're talking about people that are from different cultures living in our country, you know, that the jokes about race and, you know, when we have real conversations and we allow everyone to come to the table, you can have comedy. We don't have to be so PC because we know we're not out to hurt each other.
Yeah.
You know, please make fun of the white people because we're idiots half the time.
Yeah.
We're the ones that came up with the hateful N-word. You know what I mean? It's like we need to be called to the table and we need to be able to talk. So,
and TV and film, I mean, it's just such a great platform.
It's a great platform.
That,
it's amazing.
To
and
be effective.
And to have great writers out there that can have the conversation and be fair to all parties. Just because you don't believe in that, you got to give equal to, again, it's about listening.
Yeah.
Listening, 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 and we're not doing enough listening this time. And
yeah.
I think anything that has that, I don't think Working Girl is that platform, but I think there are so many other shows that would be amazing to do that.
Great question, Emily Higgins.
Thank you, Emily Higgins.
What's been a few more? Wrap
yeah.
it up. Okay.
No, I'm enjoying
what,
this.
What was more?
She was like, but I have shit to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
She has other clients. I'm not her only client. Okay.
Okay. Two more questions.
Yes.
Great.
Cheryl's going, no, I'm going, yes.
This is a good one. Would you rather have the hiccups for the rest of your life or always feel like you're going to sneeze but never can?
God, hiccups. Yeah. I get the hiccups all the time.
I just had the most terrible, I might even send you the audio of it from a podcast. Well, maybe not, it's kind of gross. But I couldn't stop hiccuping.
You know what you do?
And my buddy was laughing so hard, he was crying because we were doing a podcast and it was so guttural and like it was just the craziest noises and he was like, what is inside of you that's just like not normal?
That wants to come out.
Yeah, because it was so, it was like these antibiotics I was on for strep or whatever, and
my
and
God,
it was
strep.
Just,
I've had it three of the kids. It is going around and around and around. I've had it three. It was two times. I broke my finger on Ocean's 8.
What?
Smashed in a door. Oh yeah, look, split it open and my finger's crooked. I literally slammed it in the door Thanksgiving because I had laryngitis and strep. All I looked at my finger was like, when I opened the door, please let the tip be there. And so I literally had a cast on the tip of my finger for half them. So they had to CGI it out. I was always high. I became a lefty. I had a right lefty.
Welcome to the club.
But strep, I don't know what is happening
out
there.
Yeah, it's bonkers. Wait, so hiccups, yeah. Because that's
have someone ask you how to spell fish and it recalibrates your brain.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is that some like secret celebrity?
It's a secret mom thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
It's not secret.
Somebody just said, I've met her too. Helped track down her dog at the airport 20 years ago. She was cool. Do you remember that?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of comments and questions.
If this is the guy that I think it is, this is going to make me cry. My dog, remember when Continental Airlines still existed?
Yes.
I had a little dog and I was traveling to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. They came and took me off the flight and they said, something happened to your dog. I got to my dog. My dog was unconscious, lying in the side of the cage, like making these weird sounds. I couldn't get her to look at me. We ran to this hospital. I noticed the side of the cage was all melted. And they were like, and the Continental was saying, no, there's something wrong with your dog. I was like, there was nothing wrong with my dog. And if this is the guy, I literally was talking about him the other day going, if I could find this person, I just want to thank him. Because
whoa.
He was a baggage handler. He came to the vet. And he says, I want you to know there was nothing wrong with your dog. Someone had taken the cage off the conveyor belt and put it by the exhaust, gave her carbon monoxide poisoning, melted the cage. She died 2 weeks later. And the airlines, I was like, I'm going to sue. And I said, you know what? They were like, well, we'll settle for like $3,000. I said, you know what? No, I want the right when I have a platform to say this airline killed my dog because they didn't take care of it. And they were trying to lie. And he came, risked his own job by telling me, he goes, no, there's nothing wrong with your dog. Someone placed her by the exhaust. So if this is the guy,
dang.
I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And I literally just had a conversation the other day going, this man was amazing. He was a young kid that came and, you know, didn't have anything to gain by doing it.
Yeah.
I wasn't famous. I didn't, you know, it was like, he just was helping me out with my dog. If this is that guy, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it.
Isn't it amazing how like in the universe
yeah, that's crazy.
Happen?
Again,
yeah.
That's like
yeah.
why social media can be cool.
Exactly.
And not all just.
You'll be my social media.
Yeah. Okay, last question.
Okay.
What was more nerve-wracking, prepping for your role in Minions, which I know, you know, that was
nerve-wracking because you know how much I like doing voiceover.
Yeah, which
I
was great.
I hate it. I'm terrible at it.
Prepping for that.
Yeah.
Or what was more nerve-wracking, that or realizing that Adam, during the filming of The Heat, was going to have to motorboat you during an improv that Paul Feig asked for.
Okay. Well, I think probably what was really challenging for you was motorboating me. Because I don't have any boobs.
Not true.
Very true.
Nerve-wracking, by the way. Okay. Imagine being me, first movie.
Here, motorboater.
A lot of people.
Okay.
He just yelling it out. I mean, I've told this story on stage because it was like,
yeah.
you know, just a very outer body experience yeah. where you're like, all right, I'm already just like can't believe that this is all happening
right
now.
You've already been branded a terrorist.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, yeah. Her dog already doesn't like me.
And my kid I had to keep away from you.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And just hearing, you know, during that dancing scene, like, all right, like, now put your face in between her boots. And I'm just like, dude,
but I was
wearing a push-up
bra.
Don't have a big smile when you go down. Like, don't, yeah, like, yeah, you know.
You were very, you were very, okay, calm about it. And okay, I was wearing a push-up bra, so they were kind of coming close.
Yeah. No, they were hugging me.
Were they?
Yeah.
It's probably because I was pushing them.
You know, so here's what's so, like, funny about all that, too. Like, the amount of people that, after that, you know, obviously you're like, what's it like to work with? What was it? And then some people being like, was it just great? Like, what, did it smell great?
Oh, did it smell great?
Yeah.
I think I smell pretty good, right?
Smell great.
All right,
yeah.
Then.
You take care of yourself.
She smelled great.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Last question.
Yes, that's it.
I love you. My sisters and I memorized the lines from Miss Congeniality one summer. What was your favorite line from that movie and her favorite scene from that film or favorite line from any movie she's done?
Okay, Miss Congeniality. Oh my God, there's so many good ones. I mean, there's the one that annoys more parents. He wanna kiss me.
Yeah.
And I made that up on the spot.
Did you?
Like, yeah, everyone does that. Everyone does the sing-songy annoying thing that just like turns into
this. Yeah, but that became such a like iconic part of that movie.
That's my favorite because parents are like, oh my God, if my daughter sings, I'm like. I mean, every film has like moments. This is where writers just go unappreciated because so many of the greatest lines in cinema are not improv.
Yeah.
They're by someone who's by themselves in a room thinking about you and your character and just it's epic lines.
Yeah, so Al Pacino didn't improvise Say Hello to My Little Friend.
Say Hello to My Little Friend.
It's a good Pacino.
Yeah, it's so good.
Maybe you do Pacino doing karaoke, then you'll be more comfortable.
Oh my God, it'd be so great. But you know what? I think this is where we got to give credit to the writers because they make us look so good and get no credit at all.
Yes.
And any great line that I had, I'm sure was written by some lonely writer in with a pack of cigarettes and a bottle of whiskey, male or female.
Yeah.
Creating memorable moments for us to benefit from while they go on to, you know, sitting rooms by themselves writing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, I'm so glad we did this.
Thank you.
Nice.
It was awesome to see you.
I hope it's better than Melissa and Ben's.
Oh, this is going to be a big episode for sure.
Do you edit these or do you just let them?
I'll probably send it to your team just to give them the option to like.
There's nothing you can't say in here.
Right? Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Ocean's 8 is out.
Yep.
Go see it.
Yep.
That's why you're here.
I'm excited.
It's
a good thing to go and forget life.
Yes.
Yeah, it's one that's just...
Yeah, we need entertainment more than ever right now. And movies like this are straight up like popcorn, like
exactly.
Sit back, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You don't have to think too much.
Let us do the driving. Whoa. See, that's the voice I use. Why don't you sit back and let us...
See, that could also be the tagline for the movie.
Sit back.
Let us do the driving.
That. Yeah, let us be the getaway driver of your life.
Whoa.
I think that's... You should just end it right there.
Good night, everybody.
Just drop the mic.
Drop it.
No.
There it is.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamy Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.